What's going on, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. Of course, I want to thank all the listeners that make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. You can find my work on Twitter at Weiss Sports, where my work appears on Sportsnet, ESPN's The Undefeated, the Toronto Star, as well as play-by-play broadcasting for Saga 960 AM Radio. The Locked On Blue Jays podcast is free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, we're into the final week of 2021. It's amazing we have made it to this point. We're going to be doing a lot of year-end podcasts, looking back on the year that was as it pertains to baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays, and maybe a little look ahead as well. But today we're looking back at the top newsmakers as it pertains to the Toronto Blue Jays. And once again, joining me on the podcast is MLB analyst Jen Smith. Jen, welcome. Hope you had great Christmas, great holiday.
I did. I tweeted about this, but one of the biggest surprises was a gift from my brother. He got me a Bo Bichette rookie card that is PSA rated Gem Mint 10, which I believe is the highest rating that a card can have. So pretty excited, pretty surprised when I opened the box and that was what I received. So very excited about that and might just start myself a card collection.
Well, we could just end the podcast right there because I think that's the top newsmaker of the year as it pertains to the Toronto Blue Jays. But in all seriousness, I mean, wow, like that's a pretty incredible gift. I mean, any sort of gift like that, I think that like, I think the best gifts are the ones that shock you, like the ones that, you know, yes, you may not anticipate, but I think have like the most lot of longevity. And, you know, cards these days, collectibles certainly do that. And Bo's a good one to have, I feel like.
I agree. I'm quite excited by it. It's a really nice card.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So We're today on this episode, Jen, we're looking back at the top newsmakers, top stories as it pertains to the Toronto Blue Jays in 2021. I mean, I was doing some research on this today. I mean, like, it's quite amazing, like, how much time has you know, elapsed. It feels like a decade at certain points of this year. It's like the last couple of years have felt like that, just given the times that we're living in. But how about you start? We'll do a couple we'll do a couple newsmakers per segment here. But where do you want to start things off for your top newsmaker?
I think one of, if not the biggest story for the Blue Jays this past season was the acquisition of Jose Berríos at the trade deadline. So as we all know, July 30th, Austin Martin and Simeon Woods Richardson were traded in exchange for Jose Berríos. And the reason why I think this was so newsworthy, well, first of all, anytime there's a big trade, of course, it's newsworthy. But at the time, the Jays were something like 52-48. They were hovering right around the 500 mark. And a lot of fans had sort of had enough of the season almost at that point, right? They saw this as a very middling team, wasn't in it. And there were even calls for the front office to be sellers at the trade deadline. And instead, they made this trade, bolstered their rotation. And that signaled, first of all, their belief in the team itself, but also that win now mentality that they're in, right? I mean, it certainly gave the fans like that clear indication that they're willing to spend money and they're in win now mode. And it was even more noteworthy because the trade deadline happened to coincide with the Blue Jays' return to Toronto. So it was kind of this one whole big exciting day. But that acquisition, that signal that the front office was in on this core and were trying to win now, I think was a really big news story for this team.
For sure. And I think it was the first time, probably in the Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro era, where a trade deadline acquisition slash move signaled the win now mentality. Because obviously trade deadlines in the past, I mean, you could even look at how we got Simeon Woods-Richardson, who was involved in that Barrios piece. And basically that was to unload, you know, get rid of Marcus Stroman. And that was sort of, you know, the climax, if you will, of the teardown and, you know, signaling that they were going to rebuild. And that was, of course, just 2 years removed from that. So I think it certainly definitely sent that signal, like you said, of the win now. But I also think, obviously, you know, it led to what happened afterwards. And, you know, you could even make this a separate newsmaker, which is signing Barrios, making the contract extension, doing that little bit of tiny business to kick off the off season. Because, I mean, I feel like if they hadn't, and they sort of let Barrios continue with the Blue Jays into next year, I mean, they still had the additional year of control. Obviously, you know, there would have been a lot of chatter about whether or not he would have gone somewhere to get more money, like some of the UFAs on the Blue Jays did this offseason, like Semien and Ray and Steven Matz. So I think that move definitely had a lot of significance. And I think given where the Blue Jays were, it's just so nice to see them, you know, show the signs of being competitive and that they wanted to win now.
Right. Extending him meant that the team is not only trying to win now, but that they are in it for the long haul, right? They see themselves as contenders for the foreseeable future, and they're trying to actually build that sustainable winner that we've been hearing them talk about, right? And it really was sort of a show of faith in the team and to, you know, as I said, also show fans like, hey, we've been talking about this, you know, we tore down the team. We traded everyone away that, you know, everyone that you sort of fell in love with in 2015, 2016. But here's this new group of guys who you're also going to love and who are going to win. And I just think it really just sort of, you know, ushered in that next phase. And it was really good to see, of course, you know, with that, with the extension, to see that spending of money that, you know, we know that the front office can do if it really wants to.
Right. No. The Barrios, I mean, look, the Barrios trade, you know, was certainly a top newsmaker. And I would even say, Jen, this, I still think we need to wait and see, right? Because if the Blue Jays, let's say, go on to win the World Series within the extension of Barrios, I feel like that trade's even going to be even more so elevated in terms of the Blue Jays getting to a contender position. Absolutely. My first newsmaker, I'm going to go back to the start of 2021. And that January, of course, was when George Springer got signed. Mm-hmm. And because I want to sort of put the listeners and myself back to that moment, because obviously a lot of uncertainty when it came to the Toronto Blue Jays, where they were going to play, what that was all going to look like. Because, you know, it was still very much, you know, height of the pandemic, travel restrictions were in place, the vaccinations hadn't been rolled out yet. So really a lot of people were sort of staring into an abyss as to what the season was even going to look like as it pertains to the Toronto Blue Jays. And there were a lot of players, Jen, in that offseason, right, that were available for the Blue Jays to sign. I mean, obviously the notable one that the Blue Jays were in on was Francisco Lindor. They felt like you felt like they were in on everybody, similar to how the 2021 offseason played out prior to the lockout. But I just think for the Blue Jays to not only get George Springer, someone that, you know, was a World Series winner, a proven hitter, so, you know, a good, you know, team guy, high in intangibles, all that stuff. But to spend the kind of money they did too on George Springer, making him one of the more well, you know, the most wealthy contract in Blue Jays history, I think that felt like a real pivotal moment for this franchise, because I know they had signed Hyunjin Ryu a year earlier, but that was just, you know, again, like that was pre-pandemic. This is, you know, obviously in the pandemic, and, you know, you didn't have any idea whether players were going to be deterred by Toronto given the situation. But Springer was not. He was all in on being a Blue Jay, and obviously the season didn't pan out quite what Blue Jays anticipated due to injuries, but I do think that was a big moment for the club.
Well, the front office had said for a couple of years that they would spend money when the time was right. So this literally was a case of the front office and ownership putting their money where their mouth is by giving out the largest contract in franchise history, right? 6 years, $150 million for one of the better players in the game, a World Series champion, a World Series MVP, you know, multiple time All-Star, you know, a true upgrade in center field, and, you know, a guy who can come to a team and take on that leadership role that a young core might be in need of. And, you know, signing George Springer sort of made Toronto a destination, I feel, right? I mean, you could argue that maybe it already was with the likes of Vlad and Bo and you know, maybe guys taking a look at the situation and seeing the young talent and thinking, you know, I'd like to play with them. But actually landing a free agent like George Springer, I think really made Toronto a destination for a lot of players. And like you said, it didn't quite work out just in terms of the injuries. But what fans did get to see of George, you know, that those glimmers of George, if you will, were really exciting. And I, you know, I'm sure I speak for everybody about being excited to see what a full year of George could actually look like in terms of this team's success.
Yeah, and I think that it says a lot about him. I still think almost a year later that he did want to come here, given it, you know, given the uncertainty. And I just think that as he grows with this team, I just think a lot more people are going to get to know him and really embrace him, and hopefully you'll get to play a full season in 2022. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue our top newsmakers coming up just after the break. But first, let's check with our friends at Built Bar. It's coming up to the new year, and that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Well, how do you get said Built Bar? Well, you go to built.com and use the promo code and get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank all the listeners for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. We are doing top newsmakers / stories of 2021 as it pertains to the Toronto Blue Jays. And Jen, I believe it is your turn.
So, I mean, there are a number of different directions I could go in here, but I think one of the more noteworthy stories of the season was Alek Manoah's debut on May 27th against the New York Yankees. He went out there against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, and he really you couldn't have asked for anything more from him. Six scoreless innings, seven strikeouts. I think he gave up two hits, four base runners in total. This was an incredible outing, but for a rookie to do this, you know, in Yankee Stadium with his mom cheering him on in the stands, everybody remembers how excited his mom was. I mean, it was such an incredible debut, but more than that, you know, it solidified his place in the rotation, and the Jays really did need to lock down that rotation, right? They really did need to have another starter because, I mean, goodness, you know, who had they been throwing out there? Ross Stripling, right? They needed somebody who could not only give them strong outings for 2021, but somebody who could also, you know, take that and progress for 2022 and beyond. And we've already said, like, Alek Manoah, like, he played his way into next year's rotation by doing that. So he solved that problem for the Jays in terms of having a rotation piece. So I think his debut, first of all, was incredibly noteworthy, but the way that he actually, you know, ended up finishing the season, his rookie season, with a 3.22 ERA and you know, over 100 strikeouts, just great and just incredible.
Yeah, and obviously that day certainly seen his mom so happy and you know, like, that's what it's all about, right? I mean, sometimes, you know, we get caught up in the statistics, the wins, the losses, and sometimes, that needs to be talked about, but these are human moments, and this is a, you know, this is a kid's baseball dreams being realized, and you know, a very special moment for Alek and, of course, his family. But to your point about the pitching, I mean, I remember, I think this is obviously important context. I mean, they tried, you know, rolling Nate Pearson out, Jen, and that didn't work out, right? He had an opportunity, and it just didn't work out. He gave up too many runs, and he had to get sent back to the minors. So it felt as though, and I remember the discourse here in Toronto about, what's going to happen, right? You know, do we keep Manoah a little longer? Do we let him develop in the minors, or do we bring him up right away? And clearly it was a savvy move. I think Manoah was clearly dealing in the minors, and look, they needed something to work. They needed, you know, a little bit of luck, and certainly what Manoah did was exceptional. And I've said this before multiple times in the pod, like, just the competitive fire that he brings. I mean, later in the season, talking about, you know, we're one of the best teams in baseball, that no one wants to face us if we make it to the postseason. So I think having guys like that on your team, Jen, really help. And he's young, and the best is yet to come, I feel like, for the West Virginia Mountaineer, Alek Manoah.
I agree. I think we just saw the beginnings of what will be a really, you know, successful career for him. And, you know, the personality, as you mentioned, was, you know, just kind of goes along with the whole story of him in this past season, right? Because, you know, I've said it multiple times, this is a guy who, you know, doesn't behave like your typical starting pitcher on days when he's starting. He is so fired up, and he's so into the game and into his teammates. And, you know, really just kind of a breath of fresh air to watch him go about his business in a different way from other starters. And when you add to that, then the success that he had, I think fans are, you know, should be excited about watching him pitch for the foreseeable future.
So my newsmaker kind of goes a little bit along the lines, Jen, of your Barrios one, because I want to really zero in on the return to Toronto for the Blue Jays and that particular game on July 30th against the Kansas City Royals. And look, the whole season really the 2021 season can really be encapsulated by the fact that the Blue Jays had three homes: Dunedin, then Buffalo, then Toronto. And the reality is, no franchise has ever done that, right? I mean, like, you look, think back to the Blue Jays in 2020, they had to just, you know, play their whole season in Buffalo. And that felt fine given the circumstances, right? I mean, it was, you know, global pandemic, all this happening. And, you know, it felt like a real amazing solution given the situation. But obviously the pandemic continued. And obviously, again, like as we're living right now, I mean, the virus dictates a lot of things. And the Blue Jays were forced to, play the start of the season in Dunedin and make Dunedin a big league, you know, style ballpark. And then back to Salem Field again. And you started to hear the frustrations of the Blue Jays players and the toll that being away from Toronto had on them. I mean, imagine playing in front of, you know, playing the New York Yankees in Buffalo, which is quote unquote your home. And right, the majority of the fans at Salem Field are booing you, right? Because that's what it is. You know, most of them are Yankees fans. So obviously when that day came that the Blue Jays were going to return to Toronto, it was highly anticipated. And it wasn't full capacity, Jen Rogers Center, but I mean, they had a video. It was very moving. Like, it was very moving for me too. I was not there in person, but watching it on TV, it was very moving. And Charlie Montoyo, Blue Jays manager, he was moved to tears by the experience of being back at Rogers Center, having the feeling of fans back. And the Blue Jays ended up winning that game 6-4. I mean, Teoscar Hernandez had a home run. George Springer doubled to left center field, bringing home Randall Grichuk. Bo Bichette, who, of course, you got your mint condition card, you know, got a home run. So it was just an amazing moment. And not only was, I think, this a sports moment for the Blue Jays and a signal that maybe things could start to turn around for this team in the 2021 season, but a little bit of a semblance of normality for society, I feel. And I know for a lot of Canadians, Torontonians, who had the pleasure going back to the Rogers Center in 2021, it really felt like an escape for them and a return to normality that hopefully in 2022 we can enjoy even more.
Admittedly, I did not think the Jays would end up playing in Toronto last season. Just at one point for me, I just didn't see a way for that to happen. And, you know, when it was announced that they would be returning to Toronto, I just sort of, I don't know. I'm not really sure where my mindset was, but that first game back, as you said, that whole welcome back vibe, the way that it was presented, right, to the fans, and the fact that it brought Charlie Montoyo to tears, I think, first of all, really symbolizes what the team had actually gone through, you know, over the last, you know, season and a half in terms of not being able to play at home and not being able to play in front of its fans. You could sort of see, I guess, you know, that release on the field. And I ended up getting to go to a couple of games, and I'll admit, I was, you know, it completely turned around for me in terms of how I felt about it all, because I was so happy to be back there. I was so happy to be watching live baseball and just, as you said, that sense of normalcy, but being able to actually do something that I love. And I feel like probably a lot of fans felt that same way. So, you know, it really did. It was not just sort of a turning point in terms of the team. And we can talk about how well they then played at home, which, of course, had an impact on the wild card race and, you know, all the excitement leading down the stretch. But it did signal sort of, at least for a brief period of time, a semblance of normalcy for a lot of fans.
Well, they swept that series, Jen. That series returning to Toronto. They won 6-4 that first game, then 4-0, then 5-1. So, yeah, like it certainly was very special. And then, of course, I think as, you know, August rolled around, I mean, August, I think, what was a little bit disappointing in hindsight. I mean, just given the fact that, you know, the Blue Jays, you know, maybe, you know, could have made more ground, but then, you know, it all made up in September, right? When they had the memorable run. But yeah, like, I mean, we're probably going to do another episode on most memorable games of the season for 2021 Blue Jays. But this is definitely up there. And I think you can't talk about the 2021 Blue Jays without the context of where they were in terms of all the different cities. And then that return home was very special because, look, I mean, the Raptors had to wait until the fall of 2021. The Maple Leafs had to return, you know, they had a little bit in, you know, their short playoff stint, but not near what the capacity was like at the end of July. So I think the Blue Jays got a really nice reception from their fans, and it certainly accelerated as the year went on. We're going to take a quick break, though. We're going to wrap up after this with our newsmakers of 2021 for baseball and the Blue Jays. But first, let's check with our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march through the college bowl season and the pro football playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use your promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. So don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we're back. Lucas Weeds, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Again, I want to thank all listeners that make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Jen, we're rounding out our top newsmakers of 2021. Tough choices, but what's another top newsmaker for you?
Well, there are several games that I would like to talk about, but I'm going to save those for our most memorable games episode. But I do think some of them are quite noteworthy. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go with a relatively obvious one here, and that is Robbie Ray winning the Cy Young, because nobody expected it. Let's be honest, nobody expected that from Robbie Ray, and you know he joined a relatively short list of Blue Jays pitchers who have won the Cy Young, Pat Henkin, Roger Clemens, and Roy Halladay, and now Robbie Ray. But, you know, it was very, the whole thing was very interesting in a lot of ways. First of all, you know, being able to actually put together that kind of season, as I said, I think was quite unexpected, given, you know, his history, given the fact that he really only works off of two pitches. There is all of that. And then, you know, the fact that he was going to be a free agent at the end of this season, right? So there was that sort of added, I guess, you know, intrigue of, you know, if he wins the Cy Young, where's he going to go? What kind of contract is he going to be offered? You know, can the Jays afford to lose him, sort of thing. So I think just because, you know, he actually did win the Cy Young, and for a while there, it was sort of, you know, would it be him? Would it be Gerrit Cole? You know, there was a bit of that debate. I think the fact that he actually won one of the major awards of the MLB season, I think makes him obviously quite newsworthy.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and we predicted that the Blue Jays were going to garner some hardware, be up for a lot of hardware in the offseason. But yeah, like, to me, the amazing thing about Ray, compared to some of the pitchers that you may have mentioned who won the Cy Young, for the Blue Jays is like a lot of those guys were like top pitchers in the game, right? Roy Halladay, Roger Clemens, Pat Henkin. I mean, these guys were top, you know, were top guys, right? On the Blue Jays and across baseball. But Robbie Ray was a diamond in the rough, Jen, coming into 2021. I mean, the Blue Jays got him on a discount deal. They got Marcus Semien also on a discount deal. And I know this is, you know, focusing on Robbie Ray, but you can connect even the Marcus Semien thing too, to a degree, in that they were able to maximize financial efficiency. And those guys bet on themselves and had incredible seasons. I mean, you mentioned Robbie Ray, and then, you know, you look at Marcus Semien, you know, most homers by a second baseman in the major leagues. Now, obviously, I think it's disappointing, and you can make even this a newsmaker, that both of them left. It's not surprising, but they secured the bag, right? They bet on themselves. They secured the bag, and you can't help but be happy for them. But I think with Robbie Ray, though, like, he just developed, you know, a real interesting persona, right? The tight pants on the mound. Just a very, like, you know, in the zone, locked in guy that really wanted to win. And you got to applaud the work that Pete Walker did with Robbie Ray, really getting his confidence back. Because, again, like, when he came to Toronto, like, people sort of looked the other way initially, because he walked a lot of guys. He gave up a lot of home runs. But at the end of the season, like, he was the guy. He was the ace on this Blue Jays team. And I don't think the Blue Jays get to where they did in 2021 without Robbie Ray's success.
I have to admit, I never quite got the tight pants thing, because I just have no idea how that was comfortable to pitch in. But
sure,
I digress. It did become sort of this fan favorite type of thing, a little bit of a fun talking point in, you know, going on while he's out there dominating on the mound. And, you know, as you mentioned, this concept of a guy betting on himself and ending up putting together, you know, a Cy Young award-winning season is really incredible. And that speaks volumes of him and the work that he put in. It speaks volumes, I'm sure, of Pete Walker and the rest of the pitching coach, you know, staff. And just really the Jays, as you said, would not have been in it if he did not have the season that he had, right? Every single game that he went out there, you knew that he was going to give that team a chance to win. And that's exactly what you need out of an ace. And, you know, going into the season, we would have assumed it would have been Ryu who would have been the ace, right? And, you know, he didn't have a great season, but in steps Robbie Ray, you know, to sort of fill that void. And, you know, he will definitely be missed from the team next season, but to watch him perform the way that he did was really quite special.
So to wrap things up for my last newsmaker, sort of along your lines, Jen, of being maybe not, you know, as surprising or being sort of, you know, with the mold, but I mean, you can't talk about the 2021 Toronto Blue Jays without talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and the season that he had, leading the, you know, the major leagues with 48 home runs. I remember the start that he had, Jen. And again, keep in mind that this was, of course, for the most part, you know, in two different cities. And him, you know, still being able to elevate and just raise his game. And this felt like, every time he went to the plate, it was must-watch TV to see what he was able to do night in, night out. And I think the context here, Jen, is like the last, you know, couple of years preceding 2021. Because I remember when he debuted, I was there at the ballpark. It was, you know, against the Oakland Athletics. And it was really exciting. Like, for a real down year, for baseball in Toronto and Canada. Like, that game brought a lot of people's spirits up to see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. debut, and very highly anticipated debut. But unfortunately, those first couple seasons were a little bit rough for Vlad, and it didn't start out according to plan. But I think a lot of smart baseball minds, and of course, you know, rational people were to say, just like, relax, like don't worry, he's going to be able to find it eventually. But 2021 was the year, Jen, where he took a massive step forward. And this is the type of player that we expected Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to be when he came up and made his debut on April 26, 2019. I mean, I would even say right now that he's probably the most popular athlete in Toronto sports right now. You know, that could be another podcast, but I would make that statement. I mean, just given what he did in 2021, he won a Silver Slugger. He was in the MVP race for large portions of the season, finished second in MVP voting, and the best is yet to come. And I really do think, like, he's taking steps to being one of the superstars of Major League Baseball. So Vlad, to me, would be my top newsmaker, I think, for the Toronto Blue Jays in 2021.
Several years ago, I took a day trip down to Lansing, and I watched Vlad and Bo play in single A Lansing for the Lansing Lugnuts. And I remember being on the field watching Vlad take batting practice and just seeing firsthand, you know, him and his swing and just, you know, hitting these balls out of the ballpark. And it was really something to watch. And then I covered his major league debut. And, you know, to see the progression from single A Lansing to being an MVP candidate in his age 22 season is really something else. And what he did last year was extraordinary. I mean, it truly was. 48 home runs. You know, just he led in all categories for so much of the season. You know, at one point it looked like he might actually win the Triple Crown, and it just really, it was really something to watch. And, you know, for years, he has been talked about as being sort of the linchpin of this team, right? He is the center around which the rest of the team has sort of been built. And, you know, as you said, the first couple of seasons were maybe disappointing just from an expectation point of view. But to watch him take ownership of where he was at, take ownership of his fitness, you know, get himself into shape, switch positions, learn a brand new position, and do it quite well, while then putting up the numbers that he did at the plate, I mean, just unbelievable. And it really just, you know, it's exciting because, and I keep saying the word exciting on this podcast, but it's exciting because this is the guy that fans were told about. This is the guy, you know, who is the center of the team. What they saw last season, I mean, he might not exactly replicate it next year, but I think that he's going to be in that MVP conversation oftentimes over the course of his career.
No doubt. And I just think the excitement level, like you just said, Jen, and if he just continues on the trajectory that he's on, and look, I can't wait to see him play in more big games. I think that's, you know, the real mark of a real amazing player. I mean, like, look, I mean, we talked about George Springer at the start of this podcast. A lot of the reason is what he did in those big games. So I feel like for Vlad, if he can perform in those big games and, like, help, you know, lead the Blue Jays back to the playoffs and maybe a World Series championship, like, he's going to be beloved in this yes. city. And I just can't wait for a full 162 all the games back in Toronto so that Vlad can really get, you know, the fans going with just his amazing personality and his play at the plate.
I mean, you can tell that he was born to do this, right?
Yes.
So you can tell it just obviously the raw talent that exists, but then the way that he is on the field with his teammates, you know, he's a born ball player, and obviously he is, right?
Yeah, he has good genes with his dad.
Yes, he absolutely has the genetics to go along with it. But to see him really come into his own on his own was quite phenomenal.
Well, certainly a lot of newsmakers for the Toronto Blue Jays in 2021. Before we let you go, Jen, any last thoughts, honorable mentions about the 2021 team? Because again, like we talked about this team, we were sort of, you know, doing podcasts right in that height of the stretch run. I think that was incredible. And I think that these newsmakers are going to get even better is what you should take away from this.
I agree. And there, you know, there are honorable mention to, you know, the win streak that they put together in September to actually make it an exciting, you know, run up until that final weekend. Obviously that final game of the season gets that whole weekend is a discussion point in and of itself. Honorable mention to one of our favorites, Teoscar Hernandez, and the season that he had. The emergence of Jordan Romano as closer. If we're taking a look at, you know, what made the 2021 season interesting or special, but also in terms of momentum towards next year as well.
And my honorable mention is Gabriel Moreno, because man, did he get a lot of hype towards the end of the season, towards the end of 2021. If he turns into anything, what the hype is all about, I think the Blue Jays are going to be quite happy there. Yes.
He'll be quite the newsmaker if he's traded for Jose Ramirez. Not predicting anything. I'm just passing it out there.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, we are out of time for this newsmakers edition of the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. But before we wrap it up, Jen, where can people find you on Twitter?
People can find me at baseball_Jen, and that is Jen with two N's.
MLB analyst Jen Smith. All right, everyone, thank you so much for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Again, this is the final week of 2021. We're doing a lot of look back episodes, look back at the 2021 Blue Jays, so stay tuned for that. Now make your second listen, Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Locked On Blue Jays is also free and available on all platforms. So for this episode of Locked On Blue Jays, I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. We'll chat again soon.